you all. This Resurrection Sunday, we are going to have some fun. We're going to talk about what resurrection power looks like. So let's pray a blessing over this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a day that we set aside every year to celebrate what you did for us. You purchased our salvation, our healing, our everything we needed, and then this power that raised you from the dead now lives in us today. In Jesus' name, we bless this word, and amen. John chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that enters not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens up, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood him not, for what things they were which he was speaking to them. So Jesus said to them again, Verily I say unto you, I am that door of the sheep, and all that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'll tell you a story. So back in the day, back in the late day, remember in the 80s and 90s when horror movies were funny? You guys remember that? Like they had Freddy Krueger and all that stuff. I was watching those because I was young and just goofy back then. They weren't really scary. They were just stupid and funny. And so you'd watch these movies, and you know, and they were so predictable. But how many times in these shows would you find them in a home, all happy, and someone's looking in your window from the outside in? And you think about all these movies that we've seen, all the times that you've seen movies about, even a thriller movie where someone's outside wanting to stalk a home. How many times does the bad guy go through the front door? Never, right? They're always breaking in a window. They're always finding a way, or they're hiding in the closet or under the bed or something. Don't go home and have nightmares, please. But there's always reasons that the enemy wants to come in and do something in secret. He's always trying to hide behind something. He's always coming in the wrong way. And that is what happens in our life today, is every way to get to God, every way to get to heaven is always a way that is deceptive. If you look at different religions of the world, I don't want to go through them all right now, but there's, you know, one of the ones that disturbs me the most would be the New Age movement, because it has the same belief system we have about it being spiritual beings, that God is, the spirit is inside of us, and through the spiritual transformation, we get peace and we get love, we get healing. I mean, they preach the same message, but without Christ. It's very concerning. And that's what happens around you here. All these messages are out there, but all it is a way to get around Christ going through the right way. Jesus did it the right way. Just a spoiler. Jesus went through the front door and said, these are my sheep, they know my voice, and I came the right way. When Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because of their sin, and that garden was protected, the only way for us to be redeemed was for God to come back and redeem us the right way. He couldn't just destroy everybody and say, fine, I'm going to do this again. Adam and Eve, you messed up. Because Adam and Eve gave the authority that was given to them by God over to the devil. Remember that? So he couldn't just kick them all out, because then God would actually be committing treason himself. So instead, he found a virgin, and then mixed with no man, but with the blood of God himself, through the Virgin Mary, became a baby. That baby was born, raised, as just like we were in this world. And of course, what we're celebrating this weekend, he was murdered, he was destroyed, and he was taken a beating beyond what we can ever recognize. How many this week just known? Anybody watched The Passion of the Christ this week? Just because, yeah, a few of you have to. I was in a conversation this week about that, and someone said, oh, I can't watch it no more. I said, you know what? Do me a favor. Just watch it till you can't watch it no more. Just watch it a little bit. Because the remembrance of what Jesus did for you should be that brutal. He didn't just go out there one day and say, hey, I'm going to die, put a bullet in my head, and I'm going to go, and then I'm going to raise up. No, he suffered beyond words. What he went through in that movie is just even a picture of what he really went through. And So when we celebrate this weekend, we don't celebrate. That Friday was a very dark, dark day. I mean, the pain and the trauma that Jesus put on his body for us is the greatest sacrifice we're ever going to comprehend. And even now, I can't. The sin, the sickness, the sorrow, the depression, the sadness, everything, he literally, one body, took it all on himself. He said, for the sins of the world, for all sickness and disease, I will become a curse so you guys don't have to live under the curse anymore. Jesus took every curse, think about it. All that was put upon him. So think about this. This is something I don't know anything. When you see people dying, I've been in the hospital when people have died of disease and they're gasping for breath. I've watched them die, taking their last breath, looking at a home where I'm watching somebody literally take their, and you know, that look of just misery. Jesus took that sin, that sickness, that's every one of them, and he put them on himself. He suffered for you. This wasn't easy. He suffered for us. But through his suffering is creating an atmosphere so we don't have to live in suffering. Do you understand that? So everything he did was a substitute so we don't have to live that way. This Resurrection Sunday is just, it's going to be a little bit different because we're not going to, that's the only focus I'm going to have on the death. I'll finish this and I'm going to focus on the message this morning about what we are to do with this message. What we do with this message is more than just another memory of how bad it was for Jesus. That memory ought to do something and drive us to live different. Satan thought he won. Remember this. Do you think that if Satan knew what happened, he would have killed him? Absolutely not. It proves to you that Satan doesn't know the future. He just can see and read the signs of what's happening. Because Jesus' murder is what catapulted our all of our life today. But the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy from us. And he thought that if he could kill Jesus, he would end this redemption plan once and for all. And when Adam and Eve gave him the power and authority in the garden, he's going to destroy Jesus, and he's going to keep it, and he's going to reign, and he's going to destroy this God-man once and for all. Little did he know how much that was going to backfire on him. Jesus took all that stuff on him and said, keep it coming. I want to take the sins of all humanity. Not just for the ones that happened before, but all the way in 2055 or 3,000, whatever many years we're on this planet, I'm going to take every sin, every ounce of sickness, and I want to put it upon myself so my people who know me will never have to live in this suffering ever again. He took it on him. And then he went down and took the penalty of that sin, which was hell. He was tormented down there because guess what? That was the consequence of sin. Jesus didn't take the penalty, but he also took the consequence. The consequence of sin, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you will live in eternal separation and torment in a place that was only created for Satan and his angels after the, but now will be for those that live in rebellion now. That's not a message that we like to preach, but listen, we got a world around us that is trying to dilute and minimize this word so much that we don't think of hell as being a real place. Jesus had to finish the whole course. Beating and brutal and all that, as bad as it was on going down and being tormented for things he didn't even do. Do you think that was good? He finished the whole, I just can't fathom that. We see the physical pain in that movie that was so good. But what you didn't see was what happened afterwards. That when he took the penalty of that sin and went down and was tormented like a sinner in hell for us. Anguish. Remember the story of the rich man Lazarus? I'm in torment in these flames. That's what it was. It wasn't just the physical torment he's found in the earth. He went down and experienced more torment. But you know what he did when he was in torment? I love this, and I'm paraphrasing a bunch of scriptures. If you have any questions, email me this week, text me. I'll get them to you, okay? Because they're all in the scriptures. Trust me. He said he preached captivity captive. He went down in torment. He preached still. Jesus couldn't change the fact that he was still the resurrection power, and he was still the God of that was going to bring life. And he couldn't stop himself from preaching even when he was in torment. That to me is just the God that we serve. In torment, suffering for us, he still preached the good news that you can go and be redeemed. He said he preached captive to the captives there. That's Jesus. And one day, on the third day, which we celebrate today, the Spirit of God went down and raised him up from that pit of torment and brought him back on this earth to preach the message of resurrection power. The resurrection power, the life that he wants us to live now, not a life of defeat, not a life of sickness, not a life of sin, not a life, not even a life of lack. He wants to live a life of abundance. And I know I'm jumping all the way ahead of my notes, but we'll get there. We'll get all back to my notes in a minute, okay? This is the message of resurrection. This is the message of hope. This is the message that Jesus came to give you life and life abundant. If we're not living the abundant life right now, let's find out why. Let's leave this room here in the next 20 minutes or so and realize I am called to live a life of abundance. Jesus went through all that just so I could be living a life of peace. Anybody in the room, you know me, I'm not a hand-raising kind of guy. It's just, I don't need your, how many of you in this room would just go ahead and love to get away and have 4 hours, 5 hours of just complete peace and let your soul be at rest? Whew. It's yours. That's what he did for you. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, I give you my peace. How many of you want healing in your bodies? He said, I am the God that healeth you. I am the Lord your healer. How many of you want to live without shame anymore? These are things that are all blessings of what he did for us. And if we're not living in that abundance of that life, it's not on him, it's on us. So let's go back and find out why. Let's go back. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, what? Seeking whom he may devour. Why would the Bible tell us to be sober and to be vigilant if this, so to speak, walking around as a roaring lion can't bring destruction? We've got to be very careful as Christians to realize that there is a real enemy out there who wants to bring destruction to you. This idea that he is, oh, he's powerless. You better go ahead and reread your Bible. The enemy is the God of this world, and he's been given a lot of power and a lot of authority. And when we give him that in our lives, we give him access to things that are precious to us. People around us and our own lives. Be sober, be vigilant. Be on alert. I think the NIV says, or maybe New American Standard, one of them, be on alert. Look around. Realize that there is a destroyer. That's one of the names for Satan in Revelation 9. One of his names is destroyer. This is who he is. This is his character. This is not something he just does. This is who his identity is. He wants to bring destruction on you every day. And if we're not careful, and we yield to those temptations, and we yield to those things around us, and we find destruction in our lives, it's not because Jesus didn't offer us the way out. It's because we are offering ourselves a way in to that destruction. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If that can't happen, then why is he warning us to be sober, to be vigilant? You know, I believe that is appointed for man to die one time, and it is the will of God that we live long, healthy days on this earth. Amen? Amen? All right, good. Just keep going. Because here's what I'm hoping to do here the next 10 minutes. I would like to deprogram you from the view that you have of the God that we serve and reprogram you on his goodness. So let me give you a little newsflash. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm reprogramming your minds right now. This God that we serve doesn't want you to die of disease. This God that we serve doesn't want you to die prematurely. He wants the length of your day to be healthy and long. And it says, remember that one, the promise that says, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long? You know, there's two reasons your days will be short. One is your parents have the power to bring you in this world, and they have the power to take you out. That's my wife's statement. She's told our kids that for many years. And trust me, they believe it every time she said it. So that's one reason why your days will be long. But the other is it's a promise of God's word. when you learn to honor those, the people that God put in your life as authority figures, and that is a blessed life that you're going to have. If we want to honor God's word, why would he tell us, long days shall you live? And he went, well, not for everybody. That was just for the people I like the most. No, God wants you to live a life of blessing, a life of abundance, a healthy life, a whole life. So we got to get out of this mindset that, well, you know, when you get old, you get frail. And I mean, this week, don't get me wrong, I got back from vacation, had a good trip, and we were around for the weekend, did some stuff. And on Tuesday, we're a little shorthanded, so I had to fly down to South Carolina to do one of our jobs down there with the guys. And I'm telling you, after being on that roof and working for a couple of days, I actually got up one day, my hip was hurting, my back was hurting. I'm like, I'm too old. I said this, I'm too old for this. And as soon as I said it, you know what? It was your husband looked at him and goes, really? I go, no, don't rebuke me now. I'm just having a carnal fit right now. I mean, it's funny that when you got the guys, I got my son working, I got people like around church, they can rebuke me pretty well. But I mean, he just looked at me and goes, really? I'm like, no, I'm not too old for this. I'm healthy. But I mean, you're on your knees, you're working. I'm just trying to get this job done so I can get home. I didn't want to be in South Carolina that long. And, you know, we don't realize that those statements came from somewhere. It might have been humorous when I said it, but why was I thinking? Why? Because I felt pain, and my initial response to that pain at my back and my hip was, oh, I'm just getting old. That's a lie we believe. It's a lie I spoke. It's a lie I repent of, by the way. Now, you think it's funny. Oh, it's okay. We can smile about it now. You all did at my expense. But what does that show me? It showed me that somewhere in me, there's still a belief system that has to get better. A belief system that my God doesn't want me to grow old and to be frail. My God wants me to grow old and be strong. He wants my bones to be strengthened. See, we've got to get rid of these mindsets because we've been set. These things have been spoken. Oh, brother, you're just being too picky. You're being too. No. I'm telling you, this is the facts. God wants your life to be blessed, and he wants your days to be abundant. And abundant days are not ones that is living in torment and sickness and disease. He wants to live shame-free, depression-free, carefree. Let's go back to 1 Peter 5. Let's just do that. I was going to turn there, and I'm where are you at, Peter? There you are. You hid. You're hiding. All right. So the verse right before the one I read, verse 8, is verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Why? Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, devil, roaring lion, walking around seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in the world of brethren that are all around the world. But God of all grace has called you to eternal glory in Christ Jesus, and after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen you. God will make, after the suffering comes, as the pain comes, he will settle it, he will strengthen you, and you will be stronger on the other end. Just because something attacks you doesn't mean it has the right to stay there. God wants to establish you, and by his grace and through faith, resist. And it says this, but the God of all grace has called us to his eternal glory. God has a plan for us to live a life of blessing through his grace. Now, let's keep reading. Okay. Another scripture we're going to use, Job chapter 2. I like the book of Job because it's so debatable and so much fun. And as Chad likes to point out so often, those hedges and those shrubbery in the book of Job is amazing. So when God pulls the shrubbery, the hedge, right? But we won't go there because that's our humor in men's group and we don't want to bring it on Sunday mornings. We've got to keep it serious. So Job, utmost, great man, blameless, you name it. Job's a great guy. Job has some things going on in his life that you find out in chapter 1, and it was revealed over in chapter 2 and 3 that he had some strongholds in his life that were there. But what we see there in the book of Job is not the fact that God was doing anything to Job. Actually, in chapter 2, in verses 6 and 7, and it says, and Satan went down and tormented Job. A lot of times we get this mixed up, the book of Job, that God somehow did all this, or God, well, you know, God is behind it. No, God pulled his handoff because of what was going on down there, and Satan took advantage of it. Whenever we're not careful, well, here, right, verse 7, actually, since you're already there, yeah, verse 7, the thing there, look at this, the computer is so good right now. And so went forth Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boil. Satan left God and went down and began his work on Job. It is not God who torments his people. He loves us. It is the author of sickness, disease, the hater of us, the thief, the destroyer. This guy right here, Satan, is the one bringing destruction to your life. Never mix this up. When something bad happens and we say, well, God just took somebody home. You know what? I'm going to tell you in just a minute where God takes his people right here. He leads them to a place of a pasture. He leads them to good places. He leads them out of destruction, out of chaos. He prepares a table for them in the presence of his enemy to have communion there. God rejoices in the problem. And, you know, he turns all things, I'm jumping ahead of myself. He turns all things to good. So why would God try to do something bad so he can magically turn to good? No, we have an enemy who wants to destroy you. And just like on Friday, we saw what the enemy did to our Savior. We saw that he thought he had the upper hand. And that's what he wants to do for every one of us here. He wants to convince you that you cannot walk in this blessing. And you cannot walk in the goodness of God, the abundant life that he's called you. You can't walk in healing. You can't walk in deliverance. You can't walk without sin. You can't walk in freedom. And he wants to convince us, and he causes circumstances around us all the time to get us down. Even ourselves, we get attacked. And we've got to undo this mindset in us that somehow God's just trying to teach me something through this. You know, I mean, he loves me, but just like a dad, every once in a while, he's got to spank his kid. I'll get to that in just a minute, too. No, that's not how he does it. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke, I chasten, I correct. To put them back on the right course, not to put something bad on them. Oh, you know what? My son really got me mad. Let me beat the tar out of him. That's going to teach him. What? That's not a dad that dad corrects. Correction takes him off a bad course and puts him back on a good course. That's whom he loves. He redirects them back. He doesn't just beat him and leave him there and say, you're going to learn your lesson now, boy. That's not the God that we serve. John 8:44. Let's turn back a couple chapters. If you're back at chapter 10, you're only going to go back a couple. If you're in 1 Peter, you're going to go back a few. John 8:44 says that he is the father of lies. Oh, goodness. Yeah, let's just read this one verse. You are of your father. I just think this is, You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he is speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan is a liar and a murderer. You follow me here? So all I'm trying to do is build you a case right now in John 10 that it says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we see through scriptures, he destroys people. It says he's a murderer. Jesus wouldn't call him murderer if he didn't have the power to murder. So the thief comes to bring destruction, chaos, misery, and pain in your life. If that is descriptive of anyone around you or your households, it is time for us to get the message of resurrection power in us today. It's no longer time for us to allow those things and say, well, we're going to get through this season. No, no, no. That season Jesus got for you. He took it for you. You don't have to get through a season. Jesus took that season out of your life so you don't have to live in it. You follow me today? So then if that's the case, John 10, so you might have life and life abundance. Let's talk about the right way. Let me get back to my scripture, my notes. Okay, so Jesus said he's the door. There's only one way to get in the right way, and it's Jesus. When you find out that everybody else wants to entice you to go a different way, you know, well, this Christian thing works, but if you do it this way, and there's so many different avenues out there, let's be honest, the church doesn't even preach the true message anymore most of the time. We're okay with this lifestyle and that lifestyle. We got transgender issues here. We got this over here. We got racism over here. We got churches that preach racism. You know that. We got all this stuff. This is not just a new thing. There is a lot of stuff the church is preaching that is not in the Word of God. So we've got to guard ourselves that we don't allow that deception to come in, and we know the voice of God. Number one, we're going to see that he is our shepherd. And it says in verse 11, he's a good shepherd. If you have your Bibles, I just put the word good there and I circle it. He's not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. He's a good father. He loves me and he only leads his people to good places. A good shepherd is also one that guards the gate and runs after the one that's wounded and hurting out there in the world. So he has to go and find the ones. And there's a great, great story that Malcolm Smith, a preacher I really like a lot, went out and told one day. I think actually Kenny's in the car with me. I had to listen to it back in the day. It was a couple of years ago. And he talked about how this shepherd, and he talked about the role of a shepherd back in that day, would literally go in there and have to tread through the wilderness. And most likely this sheep is in pain, broken legs, something's wrong with him. And that shepherd had to go back and find a way, no matter where he was, to find that sheep, put that sheep on his shoulders, and walk him back the same way in just to bring him back to the fold. That's a good shepherd. He hasn't let his sheep go out and die. He hasn't let his sheep go out and get tormented. If you know someone right now that's walked away from the Lord, why don't we become a good shepherd of them and run after them and bring them back to the fold? Maybe they're upset with God. You know, just this couple weeks, when you had people have trials in their life, they will lash out at God and put a lot of blame at God. And God, I just wish that people would get this teaching out of this bad teaching out of their head. God doesn't cause destruction in your life. And so many people have been tormented and walked away from the Lord because of bad, bad belief systems. God doesn't need little Joey as an angel in heaven. There's two problems with that story. I think I said it last week. Number one is that little boy will never become an angel because that's a created being. And number two is God doesn't need a baby to go to heaven. These are bad, bad mindsets that people have. And it builds resentment and anger. Then the next question, why didn't God stop it? See, there's always going to be blame towards God. And it hurts to listen to the people in their pain. But whatever you do, please, do not agree with them in their pain. Comfort them, but correct them and say, no, I understand the pain you're going through, but I know that's not like my good shepherd. My good shepherd wouldn't do that. He goes out and finds the ones that are wounded and hurting, and he brings them back. He holds on to them, and he makes sure they get wooed back in the fold, and they get to be one of us again. He's not out there wanting you to be separated from us. He wants you to be a part of a team, a family. That is our Father. He loves us that much. And then check this out. He says, they know my voice so much that when I go there, the voice of another, they don't even hear. The other voice is so foreign to them that they just ignore the voice. That is because these sheep have a relationship with the shepherd. If you're encountering, and I'm just going to just throw it out there because I want to give you some correction because I love y'all. If we're encountering that type of lifestyle I told you about, that we're not living the life of abundance and life that God's calling us to, how well do you know your shepherd's voice? How well do you talk to him? How well is it when he speaks to you and says, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you. Even in my life, I get busy. I got a lot going on. We all do. And you miss the voice that says, hey, don't go there. Don't do this. And you're walking, you're about four steps into it. Go, why do I just have no peace right now? I'm feeling a little off. I'm feeling out of it right now. Something doesn't feel good to me right now. Something's off. My spirit, man, is not feeling that peace that I always have. It's because somewhere along the line, that voice that you should know, that should be trained in you, told you something and you didn't follow it. You follow me here? That voice speaks to you. God will speak to you through his spirit, through his word. You should know this so well that it should lead you down the path of righteousness. It should lead you down the path of peace. It should. And you know, my dad taught me this years and years ago. He said, son, whenever you lose your peace, go back and find out where you missed it last. Go get it back. So the key is, if you get in that mind, that is where we get ourselves out of alignment and allow that life of what we don't want to happen. The life of abundance is promised to us as sheep that follow our shepherd. We have to know him. We have to obey him. We have to have a relationship with him. So when the voice of another comes, like, well, I don't recognize that voice. He didn't say, go find out what voice it was, whether it was Freddy Krueger or whether it was, what's the other one, Jason from the, it wasn't one of those voices. You don't have to know their MO. You don't have to know their style. You don't have to know what they're doing. You don't have to know the things of the world. All you have to do is know the voice of our God. Know him so well. You know, it's like the story that, I don't even know if it's true. It's been said for 25 years in the pulpit, so it must be true. But, you know, they talk about the counterfeiting of bills, right? You probably have heard the story that when the FBI, when they go and they study bills, they don't go and study all the hundreds and hundreds of counterfeits out there. They study the original one so well that when it doesn't match that, they know it's wrong. And if we know God that well, and we know his word that well, we know his character that well, we will know that whatever we're hearing is not lining up with who he is. And that way we don't have to go and research and try to go find hours and hours of research on why God, why, whoa. That doesn't line up with his character. Get it, throw that garbage away and get back in the word and find out who he is. When you get in line with God's word, we waste a lot of time researching things and studying things that are leading us astray, and all it does is open up more questions, by the way. Have you ever went down one of those rabbit trails and never had more questions when you're done? I have. I end up throwing the books away, getting back to the word, and getting to know God again. Let's get to know him and his word so well that that relationship we have with him is bringing life every day to us. Know his voice. The second thing you're going to see is that he leads you with that voice. He leads me beside still waters. He takes me out of the place. One of my favorite verses, this is really, there's so many of them, but Genesis 50 verse 20 is one of my, it's one of my favorite story, ending of a story ever. Joseph, you know, the story of Joseph to me is astounding. You know, the favored child that knows he's favored, I'm the better one, you know. It's like if you ever ask my daughter who the favorite one is, she's everyone's favorite, right, Alyssa? If you just know her, you know, and you, all of you around are laughing because you, by the way, every time your name's mentioned, oh, yeah, that, I'm their favorite. And so that's how Joseph was, but Joseph, unfortunately, had a lot more merit behind his. He had the coat of many colors. Joseph was the one, the chosen one. And everyone knew it, and he made sure they knew it. Even with the dreams that he had, he made sure he told them the dreams. One day you're going to bow to me, you know? Remember all that? But Joseph went through this big trial about being sold into slavery, had Potiphar's wife experience, all these bad things. And then he gets, you know, through following the Lord and keeping consistent with who God called him to be, he ended up getting put second in command over all this stuff. And in verse 20 of chapter 50, when his dad's about to die and all this stuff is bad, he sets up his brothers to come back to make sure dad's here. Dad's dying. And they said, hey, and his brothers come back to him and say, hey, Joe, just before dad died, he wanted to give us a message. Take it easy on us. We're all good. Dad said, you know, because of course, did dad ever know what happened? No, not a clue, by the way. Dad had no idea. So his brothers even couldn't stop lying to him. And then he says this. Thanks for putting up there. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as of this day to save much people alive. What you meant for evil, God turned it for good. So when the devil comes and attacks you with something in your life, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, these are the seasons we just read about that the suffering, you hit a moment of suffering, whether it's something you cause on yourself or whether it's your brothers or your family or whatever you're going through, why don't you make this an opportunity for God to turn this for good and become a testimony of the greatness of God? So even when bad does happen, God can turn all things. We all know Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to come together for those who are called by. God will turn all things for good to those that are called by his name. That's God. He turns it all to good because God is good. There is no bad in him. I was reading through the Psalms this week as I was getting ready for this. You know, it says, the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. God is good. I mean, all the way through the book of Psalms, they had a secret. When they worshiped him, they kept telling him how good he was. So the book of Psalms is a bunch of prayers and songs to God. Oh, God, you're so good. Your mercy endures forever. Oh, God, you're so good. Your faithfulness is amazing. Why they kept reminding God of his goodness, because when they kept his goodness in front of them, they never, when they saw bad, they knew it wasn't God. As a church, we got to get renewed in our spirits that God is good and only does good. Matthew 7, we're going to just go ahead. I'm just going to refer to this because I spent too much time on some other stuff. Matthew 7 through 13 says this. It says, it talks about ask and should be given to you, need, seek, knock, all those things. But then it says this, how many of you, when you ask your father for bread, he'll give you a stone? And it says, how much more shall your heavenly father give to those who ask? That's the character of our God. He's not going to, oh, God, I really need a healing. Let me give you a new pair of shoes. No, God, thank you. Your provision for healing is in my body. Yes, what is he going to do? You're his father. You're his kid. He's your father. Healing is yours. This is who our Father is. He does good, and he meets your needs as a father would. Not to go and say, well, you need some bread? Stones will work for you today. No, that's not our God. Our God is good, and he's a father who cares about your needs. When you pray, maybe our prayer ought to be more, Father, I know you care more about this battle I'm going through than I do. Because you're a father who feels the pain of his children. You're a father, any father in the room. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Being a parent of a son who liked to play basketball, and as he was growing up, he was a good player, but he got better a lot. But those years where he was getting better, and I still thought, of course, as dad, he's way better than way better than everybody else. I mean, come on, and he's my son. You know the torment I went through when the game was on the line and the coach would make a decision? Oh, man. And then, of course, the player that put him in ended up doing a turnover and missing all of it. And after the game, the coach went up to me directly and was like, oh, I'm sorry. Why are you signing me? Can you go talk to my – but you know, as a dad, what that did to me? Imagine our Heavenly Father when something bad happens to you. He takes it personal. The enemy is trying to do what to you? Well, the enemy is doing what to my boy? To my daughter? Oh, I don't think so. What if we prayed like that? What if we prayed to the God who cared more about that than you did? Do you believe me? Do you believe this is the Father that we serve? The good Father, the resurrected King who came out and wants you to live a life of abundance because of the cross of what we're celebrating this morning. He wants you to live that life, and he cares about it when you're not living the fullness of that as much as you do. Maybe our prayer life should be one anticipating that he's already wanted to meet the need before you prayed it. That's our God. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. All good comes from God. There is no darkness in him. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. When there's something dark going on in your life, it is not because it's God. God only is light, he's only good, and he cannot do any bad. So, as the worship team is getting ready to get back up here, let's turn to one of my absolute favorite verses in all the Bible. Did I say that yet today? I did it. Okay, that's okay. It's still one of them. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11. And you knew we weren't going to have a Resurrection Sunday without this verse being brought into it. One of my favorite all-time verses. Oh, my goodness. Is our mind being renewed? That bad comes from the evil one and good comes from God. Next time something bad happens to you, let's stop asking God why and just thanking him for the provision of getting out of it. The answer to, you know, my dad taught me this a long time ago, and I'd like you to write this down if you can. And I don't know where my dad got it from, because my dad said it was truth. Just let you know that. Okay, if my dad said it, he meant it. Any fool can ask a question that a wise man can't answer. Just remember that in your life one day. That's going to come in handy. Any fool can ask a question that a wise man can't. There's a lot of questions that start with why that have no answers that we know right now. Not every question is going to have a good answer. I've been in meetings where I'm like, I don't know that one. I'm sorry. I don't know why God allowed that. Well, first of all, I don't agree with the question because I don't think God allowed, you know, the whole thing. Why did God allow that all that to Job? Well, there's going to be a lot of reasons, because in the book of, in chapters 1 and 2 and 3, we're going to see a lot of reasons why Job opened himself up to it, by the way. But you know, no one likes that answer. Oh, now you're one of those people that always said that the only reason it happened is because Job did something wrong. I am saying that, actually. Yes, I am. But then what did so-and-so do wrong, and then they want to bring it out of this? Why? Because the question was never about Job. It was about what they're going through. There's always a loaded question, because people have a question on the character of God. And today, the question is this: is God good or not? Yes, he is. Does God only do good? Yes. That's why he sent Jesus to save the world. Does everyone get saved? I wish. I hope. And if you read the scripture, he said it's his will that all come to repentance and salvation. That is the heart of God. So when people ask me, why didn't so-and-so get saved? I'm like, I don't know. I know the Bible says it's his will that they are saved, right? We can only go back to what our shepherd says and live in that peace. There's a lot of questions out there. They're not bad questions, but I'm not going to lose the belief I have of who my God is based on his word and his character over some things that happen in a fallen world because we don't know the facts behind it. God's heart is that we live a life of resurrection abundance. Verse 11, but if the same Spirit of Him that raised us up, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He has raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Resurrection Sunday to me, that's the most powerful verse. The same Spirit that rescued Jesus down from that lifeless soul that he was because of his choice. And he breathed the life of God back in him, and he rescued him out of that because he said, hey, wait a minute. You went there, but you didn't do the acts. You just carried them on there. You were the ambassador of it. You put the penalty and you took it all. But the Spirit of God raised him out. Now that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same power is inside of you and I right now, this moment. Holy Ghost power, resurrection power. The Spirit of the resurrection God lives inside of us. Power to overcome all sickness, defeat, pain, sorrow, sadness, anger, bitterness. That is the power that was released to you because of Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection life is meant to be lived out every day, not just once a year on Sunday mornings. Resurrection life is a life of abundance for you to live in, a life of peace, a life of hope, a life of joy, a life of blessing, a life of prosperity, a life of healing, a life of forgiveness, a life of condemnation-free living, shame-free living. This is resurrection life. And that same Spirit of God raised up him now lives inside of us. And this morning, as I close this message, as we're going to stand to our feet in just a second, I would like for you, if you've never received that Spirit of God to live inside of you, which is a born-again experience, let you know, I have a Pentecostal doctrine, if that helps you. I believe that the Holy Spirit seals me the day that I get saved. But then we also believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to live a Spirit-filled life. And so both of those this morning is resurrection life for you. If you have, and I'm going to just do something a little bit different, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come on forward. And while the worship team is playing, I would like to open up these altars and ask you simply a question. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're away from him and you need to renew that, and you need to be sealed with purpose and sealed with the power of God inside of you, knowing that you are born again, then you come on up here and you pray with one of these people and say, hey, listen, I don't know where I am with the Lord right now, but I want to be born again. And they will pray with you this very morning. If you're the other person and I'm born again, but I'm not feeling the life that I'm supposed to, I'm feeling powerless. Well, I've got great news for you. The same power in the Spirit of God that raised Jesus can live and dwell in you and receive the baptism of power and fire in your life today. Amen? So let's stand up to our feet. Let's close with every song they got here. And if you have, let's have the prayer team come on up here. And I'm going to invite you this morning. I normally want to pray or bring prayer. I don't. I want to invite you to respond today. Because I believe there are people, just please do this a favor. Do not let anyone in this room block you from coming up to this altar and getting that breakthrough you need. This is resurrection life. Holy Ghost life. Spirit-filled living. Life and life of abundance is resurrection time. Father, I pray right now that every person in this room would walk out of here knowing, first of all, that only God does good. And every evil, everything bad is from the enemy who hates us. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. He's a murderer. And so anytime those things have residue on our lives, it's because he's a part of it. But you only bring life and life everlasting, life abundant. You bring resurrection. You bring hope. You bring us out of those things. You lead us. You lead us to the place of safety. Anyone this morning, I pray, let the Holy Spirit lead you to, as you walk up this altar, lead you to get that breakthrough you need in your life. Maybe you just need your peace back. Maybe you struggle with anger so much you just can't control it. Let's get rid of it today. Let's get rid of that. Those are just things the enemy wants to do to bring you down. And let's believe that resurrection life is alive. Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you for the penalty, the payment, and the consequence that you took for us. We don't take it lightly this morning. The torment that you experienced so I can have this life, I can't help but worship you for it. And then you raised up and you became all authority taken back, as Kenny just said earlier. When he was down there, he goes, oh, by the way, I forgot something. I want my keys back. I want my dominion back. I want to take back what you thought you took from Adam and Eve. I got it back today. You're still the God of this world, but I'm the King of the universe. And that is who we serve today, is Jesus, the King of the universe. In Jesus' name, amen.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. What the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. Oh, what a wonderful name. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before. Nothing can stand against what a powerful name.